Well, my name is Zach Drummond. I'm the Director of Youth and Children's Ministries here at Good Shepherd Presbyterian Church, if you don't know me. This summer, we've been going through a series called Message to the Church. We've been studying the letters written to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And this week, since Robert's out of town, he's asked me to preach. So we're going to take a break from Revelation to talk about something that I feel like God has been putting on my heart for the past year, and that's discipleship. And so I wanted to start with a reflection question for all of you guys to think about today. If you'll take a moment and to think to yourself, when in your life have you felt the closest to God? And at which points did you feel the strongest connection with God? And ultimately, what caused that intimacy? What was the reason for that closeness or that strong connection? So I'll give you a little bit to think. Well, today I want to make the case that your intimacy with God is directly linked to your connection with the body of Christ. In other words, Christian community is designed to help us become more mature followers of Jesus. So let's pray together before we get started. God, we just pray that you would come and fill this place with your Holy Spirit this morning. Just ask that you would take me out of the picture, that these wouldn't be my words, but your words speaking to us. We've come here to hear from you, to get a word, to get a glimpse of you and your glory and your beauty and your splendor. And we just pray that you would invade our hearts, invade our lives, help us to become more like you today. We thank you so much. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, last week I had the privilege of taking our high school students and a few of their friends on a mission trip to Jamaica. And I've been on a lot of mission trips in my life, but this was definitely one of my favorites. The theme for the week was change. We studied the life of Peter and how he was powerfully changed by his relationship with Jesus. And I loved being on a leader on this trip and watching the change that happened in our students. So I'll give you a few glimpses of that. So before the trip, all of our students were kind of friendly with each other. They knew each other somewhat, but by the end of the trip, they were all best of friends. They really opened up and shared their personal issues and struggles they were dealing with. And I even saw them cuddle a few times together as a group. Even though we worked really hard all week on construction sites and barely got much sleep, they remained positive and were always willing to serve. Even Cameron cleaned up after dinner with a smile on his face. What? They were so moved by the need in Jamaica that they decided to begin helping and loving those in need in Charlotte when we got back home. Before the trip, they had become busy with school and life and had grown distant from God. But by the end of the trip, they had reconnected with God and wanted to make him more of a priority in their lives. They even stood up in front of the entire group at the end of the week and shared about how God had changed them. So what is it about mission trips that enables this amazing transformation to happen? For me personally, I've noticed that people tend to grow more spiritually on mission trips than anything else. And you might argue that this was caused by the mission trip itself or the destination to Jamaica, but I want to argue that it was caused by our connection with each other. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, Jesus says this, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." And in this passage, Jesus is saying that when believers gather together, Jesus gathers with them. So we invite the presence and power of God among us when we meet together with other Christians. And that's what we did. In Jamaica, we spent every day gathered together with other believers. Every morning, we spent time with God separately and then came together for breakfast and shared how God had spoken to us. During the day, we went out in teams and served Jamaican families and children that were in need. At night, we gathered together to worship, to pray, to share testimonies from the day, and to hear God's word. And then at the end of the day, we got together as our youth group and shared how we had seen God speak and move that day. And through all that, God powerfully transformed and changed each one of us because of the connection that we had with the body of Christ. You see, the type of Christian community that we have on mission trips is what enables us to grow so much spiritually. But don't just take my word for this. I'll let you see God's word show you the same thing. And that's why today we're looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And so I'm going to read it again, but this time I want you guys to pay attention to what the believers do when they gather together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What I love is the spectacular aspect of this community is how powerfully God works in them and through them. These believers were performing miracles every single time they gathered, and non-Christians were giving their lives to Jesus every single day and joining their community. I mean, you can clearly see the presence and power of God in this community. And so we have to ask why. What enables this amazing transformation to happen? I think it's because the believers gathered together daily, and Jesus gathered with them. But what I want you to notice is that they were very intentional with their gatherings. As the text says, they ate together and spent quality time together. But even more so, it says that they gathered together to pray, to study God's word, to worship, to encourage one another, and to meet people's needs. Their community had a very specific purpose for meeting, Jesus. Everything they did was rooted in and centered upon Jesus. And it was actually Jesus that was the one that taught the disciples how to build a community like this. If you look in the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus formed a community just like the one that we read about in Acts. First, he handpicked 12 guys to follow him. And then, during his 3 years of ministry, Jesus spent 90% of his time with his disciples building this kind of Christian community. He taught them about God, prayed with them, encouraged them, worshiped with them, studied God's word with them, and showed them how to love and meet the needs of others. And finally, when Jesus' work on earth was finished, he sent them out to do the same. So, third time's a charm. We're going to read this one more time today. But Matthew 28:19-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And so in this passage and in Jesus' life, he gives us the perfect example of what our fellowship with other believers should look like. And it's called discipleship. And if that's a new word for you, it's nice because Jesus defines the definition for us in this passage that we just read. He defines it as the lifelong process of learning to obey his commands. And if you look at Jesus' life specifically and how he did discipleship, he made disciples through having them follow him in order to become more like him. And so I broke it down to three main things. Discipleship is these three things. First, every Christian should be helping unbelievers become believers by teaching them about Jesus. That's making a disciple. Secondly, every Christian should be helping other believers grow to more and more spiritual maturity. That's also making a disciple. And thirdly, every Christian should be seeking to get help for themselves from other believers to keep on growing spiritually. That's our discipleship. And as God has been teaching me more and more about discipleship, and as I've studied Jesus' life and how he poured his life into his disciples, I've been convicted by these questions. How much time do I personally spend with Christian community? And how much of that time is centered upon Jesus and aimed toward discipleship? I think that when we spend time with friends and family, it's so easy and natural to make it about having fun or building memories or just catching up together. And Jesus wants us to have fun. He wants us to build memories. He wants us to have fellowship time together. But I think even more so, Jesus wants us to make disciples for his glory. And unfortunately, I've come to realize in my own life through this process that I'm more influenced by American culture than I want to be. I think we live in a very individualistic culture where we're taught to rely on ourselves more than we are taught to rely on each other. but on my own, I've always struggled to pursue God. Usually I strive to spend time with God every day, reading my Bible and praying, but usually that habit never lasts. I start strong and think I'm going to keep going, but it fizzles out and I lose my motivation. Within a week or two, I'm usually sleeping in or watching Netflix instead of spending time with God. There are some days where I wake up and I'm feeling a range of emotions. I feel exhausted or apathetic, tired, lazy, sometimes even just in a bad mood. And these are always the most difficult days for me to connect with God, for me to muster up any faith or love for God. And there are some days in which I would rather do something else than spend time with God. And it's on those days that I need Christian community the most. I need someone to remind me of the gospel, that Jesus died for me, that he loves me, that he's for me, that he's never going to leave me, and that he wants me in spite of all those things. It's my Christian brothers and sisters that always bring me back to Jesus. You see, God didn't design us to walk alone with our faith. He designed us to bear one another's burdens and to pursue him together. And so I want to give you a small glimpse of that in my life. One summer in college, I experienced the greatest discipleship that I've had. I was part of a summer-long Christian leadership training program with 100 other college students from three universities. During that summer, I lived in a one-bedroom condo right on the beach in Panama City Beach, Florida. And we managed to squeeze 9 guys into that one-bedroom condo. We shared one toilet and one shower, and it got pretty bad. But I loved every minute of it. And so that summer, in order to pay the bills, everyone got a job, so I worked at Wendy's. But each morning before work, I'm not a morning person, but I saw my roommates wake up at 5 or 6 a.m. in order to spend time with God. And so this challenged me to do the same. So soon enough, I found myself waking up early to spend time with God. And then at work, our goal was to become friends with the other employees that were there so that we could try to teach them about Jesus. After work and before dinner, I would meet with my roommates one-on-one to pray together or study God's word. One of the 9 guys that I lived with met with me every week to disciple me. And then I also met with half of my roommates every week for small group. And then 3 nights out of the week, everyone, all 100 of us, gathered together to worship and to receive training on prayer, Bible study, and evangelism. And one afternoon each week, we did beach evangelism, which was kind of scary, where we shared the gospel with total strangers. But that summer, I grew more spiritually than any other time that I have in my life. I saw the presence and power of God at work all summer. And I believe it was thanks to that intentional discipleship that happened every single day. So what am I trying to say here? Am I saying that we should all move into one condo on the beach? We should create our own discipleship program? No, not quite. Today I'm trying to help you see the value and need for more discipleship in our lives. In Matthew 28, Jesus commands us, he commands all Christians to make disciples. And it's the 3 things that I talked about: to teach non-Christians about Jesus, to help Christians become more like Jesus, and to get help from other Christians to become more like Jesus. And so I want to challenge all of you, as God has been challenging me and placing this on my heart. And there's 2 questions for you. The first one: how can you be more intentional with your time to make room for discipleship? And secondly, how can you be more intentional with your Christian community to be discipled and to make disciples? Because I think our church is really great at that. I think we're really great at gathering together, meeting together for all kinds of stuff. It's awesome, and I love seeing that. And so with that second question, how can we take it and be more intentional, add discipleship to the fun that we're having, the memories that we're making, to make it more centered and upon Jesus? The good news is that Jesus gives us many methods for discipleship. It starts with just choosing who you want to meet with. You want to meet with one person, one other believer, or do you want to meet with a group of believers? But beyond that, all that matters is that you center your time, your conversations, and your activities on Jesus. I fully believe that the more we pursue this intentional discipleship with the body of Christ, the more we will become like this community that we see in Acts. I think through this discipleship, we'll experience the closest kind of intimacy that there is possible with Jesus. I think we'll love each other better and be more generous than we ever have before. I think we'll be more joyful and more fulfilled than we ever have before. We'll start to see miracles in our midst, and non-Christians will give their lives to Jesus and join our community. Let's pray together. God, we just thank you so much for your love today, for the fact that you reach out to us, rebels that did not deserve your grace, and you saved us and brought us into a relationship with you. And I just pray that you would always help to remind us that we don't have to go through this alone, that we're not by ourselves, we don't have to pursue you on our own, but that we have an awesome, wonderful, godly Christian community here that can help us pursue you together. I pray that you would just reveal the places in our lives where we need more discipleship, the places where we can make more time for you, make more time for prayer, for your word, for encouraging one another, for serving the needs of those in our community. I just pray that you'd help us to surrender more and more of our lives so that we can give it more to you. And may we always be reminded of the sacrifice that you made for us, giving up your son and giving up your life for us. And may we be challenged to do the same. We thank you again for your love. It's in your beautiful name we pray. Amen.